I'll be honest, I am pretty nervous to be up here today. I don't know why. I know I've done this a few times, but this subject is a touchy subject, but I feel like the Lord has put it on my heart, and we're going to talk about marriage today. Something that, that is very difficult. There's very few things in life that you actually make a promise to God about, and marriage is one of them. You commit your life to Christ, and you make a promise to Him that you will live for Him, and then you also make a promise to Him that you will go through whatever with your spouse. You don't have to make a promise to Him to have kids, to buy a house, to do anything. So marriage is a big, big responsibility, and so I'm gonna share kind of what I've been through, and then just kind of what the Word has to say about it, and what the world views marriage as opposed to what the Bible says. Anyways, let's open up with some prayer, and we'll get started. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for each and every one of these people here. I just pray that that you just, your Spirit just speaks out of me to these people, Father. I pray that our hearts and our minds are just open to learn and to hear what you have to say. And Father, I pray that that as we go through this morning, that we're just all filled with something new and a new way to look at how to go through life and to be closer to you and closer to our spouse today, Father. And I mean, first things first, culture teaches people to consume relationships, right? I mean, the world has kind of watered down marriage very much so, with just how you feel, you know, what people look like, what they're going to do for you. It's more of like a contract kind of with that person. It's not a covenant, you know. I think God has created marriage to be a covenant. You make this promise to be with this person for better or for worse, is what it says. So with the world having it done in a way of feelings and what they're going to do for you is not a good way to go about it. Feelings change quickly, daily. I feel like every person in here, it's every day could be an emotional roller coaster, ups and downs and highs and lows. You know, somebody says something to you, or they cut you off in traffic, and you're mad, and then the next minute, you know, somebody helps you out, and then you're happy. So emotions change really quickly, and so to base marriage off of feelings and emotions is not a good representation of how to do it. Marriage is not finding perfection. It's about two imperfect people trying to pursue Christ together. There's not anybody perfect. So to try to get people that are perfect and join them together is impossible, right? And even if you are not married and you're looking for somebody, don't look for perfection, because it's not out there. You might have to lower your standard a little bit. Perfection is not real. The only perfect thing in this world is Jesus, right? He is perfect. He was sinless. He was the only one that does. He's the only one that does not change, right? So everything in this entire world changes, whether you like it or not. Everything changes. If you want something that stays the same, Jesus is the thing that stays the same. I mean, God created marriage. I mean, right in the beginning of the Bible, if you guys turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, like first couple pages there. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper corresponding to him.'" Right there. I mean, this, we're talking like the beginning of time. God understood that human beings were not meant to be alone. I've had this conversation with a lot of different people in my life recently, actually. It's kind of funny now that I'm up here talking about this. I'm thinking back of all these conversations that I've had with people. Human beings like to have a companion. They like to be around other people that are like-minded with them, and they want to grow together with people. And it's not good for people to be alone. It's scary. It's hard. It makes things more difficult. And to have that companion there with you, you know, to go through life, not saying that it's going to make your life easier, but just knowing that you have that security of somebody's going to be there with you and somebody is just by your side is so good to know. And that feeling going through that is so beneficial. And then if we skip down a couple verses, talking about God creating marriage, in verse 24, it says, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh." So that is one thing that is very difficult. I'll be honest with you. I struggled with it. I work with my family, my mom and dad, every single day. So I see them from, and I worked with them before I ever got married. So it was, I was very close with my mom and dad, and I still am. But when I got married, that was a tough thing for even me to break and for them to break, was to try to let go and have that separate life. That being said, we're all on the right track now, and I do have my own life. I have a wife and kids and get to do my own things, and they get to be a part of that, and I'm super thankful, and I'm super thankful that you know, that my mother-in-law and father-in-law are also have a great relationship with them, and that, you know, we're able to still see each other, and we, you know, we spend so much time together, and I think that's so important to try to find family and look at that in a spouse, because you do have to marry that whole family also. They're going to be around whether they like it or not. Marriage is just, it's so special. I love it. I think weddings are like the coolest thing ever to go to, just because it's so beautiful to see two people that, you know, obviously they've decided to make this commitment, and it's awesome to see that people want to, you know, commit their lives to each other, and hopefully in that commit their life to Christ as well, commit their marriage to Christ. Two of probably the most emotional and powerful things that I've ever witnessed is probably somebody giving their life to Christ and being baptized in marriages. I don't see anything else as being that powerful of a thing. Because as it says here, you know, the husband and wife become one flesh. They bond with each other. And it's more than just a physical bond of, you know, love and affection and all these things. It is very spiritual. Marriage is extremely spiritual. And if you think that spiritual war is not in a marriage, it is 10 times more in a marriage than just by yourself, I feel like. Spiritual warfare in a marriage is Satan and things can tempt you in so many different ways when it comes to marriage. Marriage is, it's tough, it's beautiful. I think it requires a lot of endurance and patience, and it definitely is not a 50-50 relationship, for sure. I definitely have learned that going into marriage at a young age. You know, expectations were way off. I'll be completely honest with you. And maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that was way wrong on me, but you see these things on TV or on a movie, you know, and Maybe, you know, you got this guy that goes and he goes to work and he does his thing, and then he comes home and his wife's just there with hot food waiting for him on the couch, and he's going to sit down and watch TV and hang out and then go to bed and then get up and go to work the next day. That is not real life. as much as I'm sure some of us want that to be real life, it is not. And I learned that the hard way, because I did. I had expectations. Expectations in marriage are, I mean, they can be realistic if you know what to look for. And one thing now that I have thought about now that I have children is I want to set the example of what expectations to look for in a marriage between me and my wife. I want our kids to grow up and be able to see something that is powerful and only God can create, because there's no way that on my own I could do it. Let's see, what else do I got here? I went through all that. Learning marriage takes intentional work. Marriage is not something that is just, you know, something that you can just breeze through life doing. I've also learned that the hard way. I've only been married it's coming up on 5 years, which is not very long, but I will say, like, you can get comfortable, and you can do this in so many areas of life, so this doesn't just apply to marriage, but you can just get comfortable, you can kind of get complacent, and you just kind of get in the rhythm of doing life and going through the motions and doing all these things. But it takes intentional thought and detail to try to have a healthy marriage and try to have that relationship with your spouse. And going through marriage together is, it's so fun, because I like doing hard things. It's kind of enjoyable. You feel rewarded at the end, you know. And marriage is very difficult. It's one of the hardest things that I've ever had to go through. And I mean that in a good way, all right? Wow, that came out really bad. Boy, that one's... I can see her back there staring at me through the window, so... She's just... Yeah... I don't mean it in a bad way, I promise. Man, that came out horrible. Now you got me even more nervous up here, you know. Thank you. I'm going to need it. So going back to just how the world views marriage almost as a contract, you know, yes, people do have to make the decision to come together to become one, right? That's what the Bible says. But the world almost sees it as like, you know, I'm going to stay married to you as long as it is beneficial to me and you do the things that I, you know, want out of this relationship. And that's tough, because human beings do not have the same thought process as every other person. I mean, that's why we're all created by God individually, right? We're not the same. We would just be robots, and life would be boring, and it would not be entertaining, and things would not happen, and you wouldn't have to, I don't know, there wouldn't be love if you were just robots, right? It would just be like, oh yeah, this is your helper, and this is what you do, and everybody would think the same, and it just wouldn't go well. So you gotta, you know, have in the back of your mind that yes, people do have different thoughts, they do have different opinions. I think that you know, going through and trying to figure out core things of what you guys believe in is very important. I think God shows a good example of what marriage is. You know, it talks a lot about that we are the bride of Christ, right, in the Word. And I know for some guys that seems tough to to kind of comprehend a little bit, because you're like, I don't want to be a bride, right? Like, I want to be a man. Like, I am, like, I don't know, maybe it's the way that I think, but I feel like most men are pretty, they want to be a man, right? Like, they want to be that strong protector, and they want to work hard, and they want to go and protect, and then, not saying that you can't go do those things, but when you're with Christ, you know, what are you going to do against him, right? Like, he is all powerful, he is all knowing, he can do and take care of whatever you cannot take care of, no matter what. And that's so awesome to know in the back of our mind, because as humans, we want to just try to control things, right? That's how we feel comfortable. That's how we get in to these comfortable situations, right? Like, we're able to control how our life is being affected by things and all of this stuff. But when things go crazy, you know, you start to panic and you start going crazy. But with Christ, right, we have that when things do start going crazy and you start to panic, he's there to be like, hey, look, I got this. You know, whatever happens is because I am allowing this to happen. And if you have that in your thoughts and your mind, then really, what bad could happen to you? And I look at that even with marriage, because things are gonna go sideways. You're gonna have an argument or whatever it could be, right? And yeah, if Christ is at the center, then no matter what happens, I mean, you guys can still come together and bond over Christ. I'll be honest, before I had kids, there was not very many things that I had in common with my wife other than Jesus. She was very much, she wanted to go maybe on a hike or a picnic or stay at home for the weekend, and I wanted to go out and just do anything, whatever. I was into racing dirt bikes. I wanted to go and go do something, go somewhere and have this crazy adrenaline rush, and she was just like, yeah, not into it. But those two opposite things did come together, and through Jesus, I truly believe that is what has bonded us so closely together and created such a wonderful time in my life. And I'm very, very thankful. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "And you ask why? Because even though the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, you have acted treacherously against her. She was your marriage partner and your wife by covenant." So there again, God talks about marriage being a covenant, not a contract, right? Contracts can be terminated, they can be voided, they can be ripped up, and, you know, then it's done. Marriage is not that. It is something so much deeper and so much stronger and so much more of a commitment than I feel like people tend to take on. In Matthew 19, God says, "And what God has joined together, let no one separate." Right? So it's not a contract. It's not something that's going to get separated. It's not something that is going to be, it's not something that's going to be just thrown to the side when it gets tough, because, yeah, marriage does get tough. It is, it's hard. But it's intentional, which is good. And it makes you think, and it makes you wonder, and it really is the ultimate way to be able to show a Christ-like nature, right? Whether you're husband or wife, right? There are so many ways in marriage to show that we are like Christ, right? Because, you know, Christians are supposed to be little Christ. And so marriage is, I feel like, probably the best way on earth to show how Christ lived on this earth. I think communication is huge in a marriage. It can make for hard times or good times, whether there's miscommunication or no communication. Because let's be honest, like people like to know what's going on. They like to know what's happening, what that other person's thinking. And how are you supposed to fix something if you are going through something, if there is no communication, if you don't know what the problem is or you don't know what's going on? I think communication is a huge one. I hear people say sometimes that the hardest year of marriage is your first year. I disagree with that a little bit. The hardest year is the year that you have a child together. I love my kids, I do, but man, they are so tough if you do not know what you're getting yourself into. Came from totally opposite ends of the spectrum when it came to children. My wife, she grew up around kids her whole life, so she knew how to change a diaper. She knew kind of what to do, how to bounce them, how to pick them up and hold them and do things. And I hadn't seen a baby since my little brother was born, and I was a year old. So, you know, I had no clue what I was going into, and it made for a tough year. I will say, I hope there's not tougher ones ahead, but at least right now where I'm at, that year was tough. I didn't know. There was a lot of miscommunication. There was a lot of I don't knows. There was a lot of you should just figure it out, which was fair. But those things being said, communication is huge, and being there for your spouse and yes, I'm not quite there yet, but boy, is it! It seems like it's going very quickly. I'm sure the teenage years are right around the corner. but no, it's good. I love it. I love having kids. I love being a dad. It's awesome. I think it has definitely strengthened marriage for sure. I think kids will teach you how to love your wife differently, because your kids are not somebody that you get to choose, right? God gives you your kids, and they are who they are, and you don't get to choose. You can kind of shape and mold them and turn them into who you kind of want them to be, but ultimately, like, you get to choose your wife, and it makes you stop and think and be thankful for that choice, because you and that person now have a, you know, you guys have a child together, and it's so special to see. And yeah, the way that it has changed and grown, at least my marriage for me, has been amazing. God talks about not conforming to this world, right? He says in Romans chapter 12, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God." So that being said, do not be conformed to this age. This, going back to the way the world has marriage viewed as, you know, this contract or this thing that is just, you can get rid of if it's not working out or whatever those things may be. That's how the world views it. And God has said, no, it's the complete opposite of that, actually. It's not even close to that. Is awesome. And so this section is I feel pointed towards men. It's a little bit about biblical masculinity, and what that looks like as a man, and things that I have struggled with for sure. It's not aggression, it's not domination, right? Masculinity is strength under control. There was a story one time that I heard. I guess it's not much of a story, it's just kind of a quote. It is better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And I heard that, and man, that was super powerful. I know it's probably been around forever, and I'm sure most of you guys have heard it, but that being said, for men, like, we want to protect, we want to be able to do the things that we need to do for our spouse, and We want to be able to go out and take care and provide and do the things that need to get done. At the same time, you can have all those things and you can use them for things that are not necessary, right? So, you know, you can have this aggression, you can have this power, you can have these things that you wield and things that you're capable of doing. And it's good to know those things, because being equipped with the stuff that you need to get through life is just going to make things a little easier down the road. I look at that as you know, reading your word, knowing what the word says, right? Because times are going to come and you're not going to know how to get through it, and the word is going to be there for you 10 times out of 10 every single time. I think that men have this awesome ability to have this power and this strength and be able to not even just choke it down, but I guess just be able to control it. And that's the illustration of the warrior in a garden. But the gardener in a war is somebody that, you know, wasn't really prepared to get thrown into the worst of the worst situation. And now he's on the front line and he has no idea what's going to happen. And, you know, maybe with a little bit of luck, he'll get out alive. But looking at that illustration is awesome, because it's not about being aggressive or being overpowering or any of those things. It's submission. It is control. It is it's communication. It's all those things. It's humility. You can still have the courage to lead that way and be the man that God has called you to be. But at the same time, you also have to be able to go through those hard times and be equipped with them as well. 1 Corinthians 16 says, "Act like men, be strong, and let all you do be done in love." In Ephesians 5:25, and it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." As you guys know, this building is not the church, right? Us as a body is the church. And if we read Jesus' story and we read the way he treated the church, right, his people, it was so sacrificial. He, at times, did have righteous anger, right? He was able to flip tables. He was able to go and, you know, do what needed to be done in those situations. But at the same time, he also got down and washed every single person's, all of his disciples' feet, right? That's very, very humble to do. And I would imagine they did not have socks and shoes like we have today, so I'm sure they were quite dirty. And I don't know. I mean, feet are not the most lovely thing to look at or wash, I would feel like. So that, just that alone is amazing. I think it's so good to see. And I truly think that Jesus was the perfect illustration of a man's man, right? I mean, he probably was not a twiggly little scrawny guy that some of these pictures, you know, illustrate him out to be. He was a carpenter. I have met carpenters. Their hands are rough. They are strong. They're able to just work in hot, hard days and get through things. And the fact that, you know, he was a carpenter, right? He worked with his hands. I'm sure he was rough. I'm sure he was beat up. He was probably tired a lot. And he was still able to live that perfect life and show us what life is supposed to look like for us to be an example of. That being said, failure is things that happen in marriage. I have failed as a husband probably more times than I would like to admit. Whether it's, you know, leaving my wife with a situation that was hard because I didn't want to take responsibility for it, or not learning patience, right? I mean, I've struggled with, you know, you just blow up over nothing or whatever it might be, and it makes it very tough for for a wife to deal with that. Now for the women, womanhood is not weakness. It is strength, wisdom, and godliness. The women in the Bible, there's not a lot of them, but man, the ones that are in there are just, they're on, right? I mean, if we read about some of these people, you read about Ruth, you read about, I am totally losing my train of thought. The list does go on, right? So we do know, but even just reading scriptures about how women are supposed to act is so awesome, and I see that in so many women, which is really cool, because it means that I feel like you guys are in your word, you guys are looking towards what God wants for us, right? And those examples are there, and I hope any young women that are looking to get married soon are in your word, that you have somebody that you can look up to that is an example of what a biblical wife or woman should look like. Proverbs 31 is a huge chapter, right, on what that looks like. Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies," right? That's wonderful. Verse 25 says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity." I love that, because I feel like women are portrayed now to be weak and to be just put away or put to the side. And no, women and men are meant to fight this spiritual battle together. And I will be completely honest with you, my wife has had way more strength at times than I could ever have. So shout out to all of the godly women out there, because you guys are the ones that make the world go around and make life a lot easier. And I know that there are a lot of men that are thankful for that. In Ephesians 5, if we can flip over to there. Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything." And then most guys quit reading that right there. They don't go any further. They're like, all right, hey, this is what it says. Now, if you read just a couple more verses from 25 to 30, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body." So yes, the Bible does say that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. But I guarantee you that my wife would not submit, or any woman would not submit, if you were not following Christ. It is much easier to have that thought and to trust your spouse, to trust your husband when they are, like it says here, leading like Christ has showed, right? Because if you don't know, right, I would imagine it would be very tough to try to submit to somebody like that. It's pretty easy to submit to Jesus, because we know that he is perfect and that he is holy and that he is going to lead us in the right direction. Humans make mistakes, and we are not perfect, right? So as men, we have to do our best to try to put ourselves in that position and follow Christ like we are supposed to, for our wives to follow along with us. And I'm not saying that women cannot have a say, because I ask my wife about everything. I think that women that pray and are in their word are so beneficial to any advice and things that can be handed out, because you guys look at things different than men. I think men and women are created differently. They think differently, they act differently. And the way that you guys look at things, that advice is so good, because 9 times out of 10, I never thought about it that way. It's a time I learned from my wife. I'll be honest, learning timing, learning God's timing. We were trying to buy a house, and we found this place, and I was like, oh, this is the one. You know, like, yep, I just know it. Like, the Lord spoke to me. This is the one. And she goes, I'm not feeling it, you know. She's like, I don't know. And she goes, I don't know. We should pray about it. And I'm like, no, I think we're good. We need to do it, or we're gonna lose it. This and that. And so I'm like trying to push the door open that was obviously dead bolted shut 4 or 5 times. And she's like, no, I don't know. And she was just so calm about it, and so just relaxing, and had so much peace over herself that she was just like, she knew that it wasn't right. And no matter how hard I pushed, she was just like, hey, like, this, if this is not what God wants, this is not it. Like, move on. And I really need that. Sometimes I need to be just told very bluntly, like, hey, get out of your own head, right? Because I do. I get in my own head, and I, you know, I just seen tunnel vision. This is something that I wanted. And she was so calm and so great about showing just the peace and what she had, and the answer that truly was there. So I'm very thankful for that. I feel like conflict is something that happens in marriage for sure. That was something that I didn't really think about it much before I got married, because it just, I don't know, I tried not to think about it, right? You don't want to think about the bad things, but there is going to be conflict, and I think there's a healthy biblical way to resolve conflict and to go about it, because, like I said, people are humans, and we have different thoughts and opinions and the way that we view things, and that creates conflict. I think the best way is to just go directly to Scripture, where it says, be quick to hear and slow to speak, in James 1:19. Actually, Sierra just sent me that verse like 2 days ago, and I was reading it, and yeah, it was very necessary, because sometimes we do get angry, and we do say things that we don't mean, and you can't take those things back, right? It says words, I'm not sure of the saying, it's something like the weight of 1,000 words or something like that. But words are heavy, right? Like they dig deep, and they hurt. In Ephesians again, chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So if we, again, the Bible also says, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us, right? So having conflict is a way for him to get in your marriage and try to just stir things up and make it go crazy. And I'll be completely honest with you. When I was praying about what to talk about this today, and God put marriage on my heart, it was tough. And this week was a brutal one. The enemy definitely did his best to try to make things as difficult as possible in my marriage, because, yeah, there was just little arguments about things that didn't matter and wasn't necessary, and yeah, when that happens, it's almost like your whole life just kind of, everything goes crazy and goes sideways. I think that if we listen to the problem and the conflict that we have before we just react and talk about it, is a good thing. Don't keep score, right? I won this argument, or you won that argument, or this or that, or whatever it is, right? Like, because that's just, I feel like that's childish. My four-year-old keeps score of things. But, and I'm saying all this because these are things that I feel like I have to learn. And I hope that everybody in here is able to learn something from this because it's so easy to get complacent. It's so easy to just go through the motions of life and go through things that are, they're just easy, right? And so when those things get easy, you kind of just, you forget the important things. I think keeping Christ at the center is extremely important. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. That one was super important to me at our wedding because, yes, you have the two, and it does talk about how two people can lie down and keep warm and defend themselves in that, in Ecclesiastes also. But there at the end, it says a cord of three strands. So you do have to have Christ at the center of all of that. So yes, it is you two, but Christ is also in your marriage as well, right? I think that marriage is something super special. I think that it's something that God has created, and if you guys are married, congratulations. I love it. I think it's the best thing in life. I pray that you guys just start dating each other again, that, you know, whatever may happen, if things are complacent, just, you know, try to lighten it up. Let Jesus, you know, work in your marriage, and let him just come in and start cleaning things up and doing things his way. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love, right? It says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. That is the ultimate definition of love, right? So when you say that you love someone, that is what the biblical definition of love is. And those things they're hard. Loving someone is hard, but with Christ, it does say all things are possible. That's pretty much all I got for you guys, so let's pray and we'll get out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each and every person here tonight, or today, this morning, whatever time it is. We pray for marriages that are here, Father. We pray that they are, they're able to have you at the center. I pray that marriages that have not happened yet, Father, the people that are looking to get married, I pray that they find someone that has you at the center of their life. I pray that they're able to just see you and to follow you and to be guided by you. And the marriages that don't need a lot of help, Father, I pray that they stay that way. I pray that those marriages are able to just thrive and keep going forever. And I pray that all of these people in here are just touched by you, Father. And I encourage each and every one of these people to go out and just pray with their spouse and pursue you and just have you at the forefront of every thought and idea and every decision that is made. And Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.